We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, goo.
Stiney.
What's up?
Paid for me. She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
I'll tell you what, we may look back at this weekend, and this will be the one that we point to that it cost the 49ers. Last night, Seattle beats Minnesota, and officially, the 49ers are 10-2, but they're looking up at the Seahawks in the standings. I don't know, guys. I'm starting to think, one more loss, believe it or not, and they're done in terms of their Super Bowl hopes. I think they took a hit last night. We know how tough it is to get to the Super Bowl as a wild card team. Does this team have to run the table right now? Win four? Their last four games? That'll get them the division. And then three wins gets you a Super Bowl. Is there any other way to do it?
No.
Realistically.
That's the way. But I'll throw this out there because it's real and it's tangible, Bonte. The New York Giants did it. We saw the Ravens do it. But to me, what I saw last night from the Seahawks was a season that changed on Monday night when they won that game in overtime. And for Pete Carroll to call a fake punt, it got me thinking, Shanahan hasn't won a Super Bowl because he's young in his career. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't won a Super Bowl, hadn't played in the playoff game, Stoney. So I guess what I'm saying is, it's fantastic and in love with the play calling from Kyle Shanahan. I did second guess some of the things we saw Sunday in Baltimore. I guess what I'm saying is, what makes me nervous now is Seattle has the edge when it comes to the pedigree from the quarterback and head coaching tandem. I'm going to call him the big two, Bonte, and that has to mean something because Pete Carroll last night called that fake punt when nobody thought it was on the table. To me, thinking about the red and gold and how he could ill afford to lose that game, and I'm just wondering, does Kyle have that in his bag, Stoney?
We don't know. We do not know, but for some weird feeling, got to have Monday night loss. And Monday night loss to the Seahawks, despite what you thought would happen in overtime and Shanahan's play calling or whatnot, you just knew walking out of that stadium that night that it was going to come down to Week 17, a place the Niners haven't won since 2011, a place that the Niners have won four times since the Seahawks have moved back into the NFC West in 2002. That team is well coached. They have a great quarterback. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. He may be the MVP this year outside of Lamar Jackson. We'll see how that plays out.
And a new run game.
And the run game, Carson and Penny, they're rolling. Hollister's catching pass. I mean, Stiney, there's no more margin for error.
Yeah.
There's no more. And I don't want to hear anything about, oh, well, you know, it's okay if the Niners start on the road in the playoffs. You want to play Dallas in Dallas with a mobile quarterback when mobile quarterbacks have given you trouble all season? It's different in the playoffs when a team gets re-energized and records are 0-0. That's not a cakewalk to go on the road.
Offensive line, they got receivers, running backs.
And real quick, last wild card team to make the Super Bowl and win it was the Baltimore Ravens in 2013, right? Mm. So, I mean, it doesn't happen like that.
Stoney, it's go time, if that's what you're getting at. You cannot ill afford to lose this game in the Bayou this Sunday at 10 a.m.
Get a lot of texts already saying we're overreacting and we're out of our minds. Look, it's going to be very difficult to win a Super Bowl as a wild card team. And I think it's going to be really tough considering – just there's a lot of good teams in the NFC. So they're going to have to go on the road. And here's one I'm going to throw at you because a lot of people are throwing this out. Is it really a big deal if the 49ers have to go to Philly or to Dallas? I mean, I sure think it's a bigger deal than having a bye. And,
huge,
you know, those
deal,
are the kind
Stoney,
of games where,
major.
You know, even if you win, those playoff games tend to take a toll on you. I heard the morning show talking, and they basically threw this question out there. Who's better, the 49ers or the Seahawks? Like, who's better? Which is a better football team? And I think part of me thinks the Niners are better. But you know what? I look at coaching and quarterback play, and you have to give the edge both places to Seattle. And to me, those are two big edges that go to the Seahawks.
I'll give you that. And on top of that, one of the most exciting games this year was that Monday night game in San Francisco. And I just told you what I thought about Carroll and Russell Wilson and the jewelry. But I'm going to say this. I'm leaning towards the Niners because they did dominate that game. They didn't get the
what
W.
Game?
The Monday night game.
It was
Niners
game. What game were you watching? Yeah,
the seriously. Niners defense was stifling Seattle. Oh, it was 10-0.
Are you
until
kidding
Garoppolo
me?
Gave them
you just
seven
said
points.
The 49ers were dominating that game against the Seahawks.
Defensively,
oh,
it was 10-0 until Garoppolo
Guru,
gave them seven.
What game were you watching?
You guys are doing a role reversal from yesterday. I get it.
No, I'm not, listen, actually. That's
Steiner,
crazy.
Are you going to tell me it wasn't 10-0?
I'm going to tell you it was 10-0. I'm not going to tell you the 49ers dominated the Seahawks. I mean,
can't
I don't know what game you were watching.
The defense dominated the Seahawks
no,
offense
they didn't.
In the first
no,
half.
No, they didn't.
Well,
tell
it was 10-0, and they didn't score. They didn't score. My point is, Bonte, what I'm getting at is I need four more quarters.
You are.
And you talk about Seattle. It was 10-0.
So why?
No!
You said the Seahawks dominated.
Stidey.
The Seahawks were dominated by the 49ers.
Stidey.
Get me watching.
Stidey. This is the same guy. Who said yesterday? You should have been worried.
You're still
about
on yesterday.
No,
I'm different.
You were talking about, if they don't strip DK Metcalf, it's 2018. You get blown out, and now you're talking about they control the football game.
They stopped Russell Wilson and made it hard. This Niner defense in the first half, and Garoppolo gave.
Okay, well then they don't have anything to worry about.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I need to see four more quarters.
I'm actually
going to
– I got to do 4 hours with a guy who thinks the 49ers dominated the Seahawks.
Did they
come
score?
Come on, man.
Did they score?
Come on.
Come on, Steiny.
Seriously.
I watched the game. I don't know what you were doing. But this is payback
the Seahawks,
from yesterday.
I watched the Seahawks go into San Francisco and beat the 49ers who were undefeated. I didn't see the 49ers dominate the Seahawks.
Right. Well, watch it again.
Okay, I will.
I'll give you my
lead. Let me guess. If I watch it this time, are the Niners going to win? The Niners
stop.
Win the replay?
Niners were
my
Niners
God,
defense.
I didn't expect to be this wound
Niners
up this
defense
early.
Had Seattle with 0 points, and the offense
what?
Gave them seven
0 points. In what, two? They held them to zero in what, 16
it's about
minutes?
To be before halftime.
Okay.
So
okay.
Anyway, I need to see four more quarters. Thelma and Louise way. Over here.
Can you take some calls, man? I've got nothing, man.
The new Thelma and Louise, 10-2.
Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Stop.
From about... Whenever Seattle forced that fumble for the touchdown when Clowney walked in.
When it was 10-0.
The SG gang.
From that point on, the Seahawks dominated the next 2.5 quarters. That's the majority of the football game, all right? The Niners dominated the first quarter and maybe the first 4 minutes of the second quarter, and that was that. That was that. You can't – come on, man. Seattle's a better football team right now. They were a better football team on Monday Night Football. And granted, I know you could say George Kittle was hurt and Emmanuel Sanders was hurt, but Seattle's a better football team. And there's no way in hell anybody thought that they dominated the Monday Night Football game.
I didn't say the game. I said first half.
No, you said the game.
Dude,
you said the game.
I said first half.
No, you did
not.
And that's why you.
Let's move on.
No,
let's move on.
I said the first half.
Let's move on. This is ridiculous. 888-95. Let's move on.
You guys got to start listening.
Let's move on. 888-957-9570 is the number.
I said first half, damn it.
No, you did. My question is.
I said first half, and if that's why you guys reacted the way I want to finish this, I get it. I said first half. You so quick to crack a damn joke, and then you over here laughing and not even hearing what I'm saying.
You need to think
half,
about what you said.
Nothing.
Just
how
think
are you going to dominate a game?
Give me a filter.
Did
just give
lose?
Me a filter.
How are you going to dominate a game you lose?
Well, I don't
how
know.
How are you going to dominate a
that's
game you lose?
That's what I wanted to know.
I feel like I'm
that's
taking what crazy,
we
Phil.
It was 10-0.
That's what we wanted to know.
Start listening, both of you.
Really? You're going to die on this
it's
hill?
It's just ridiculous, man. I didn't say the game. What? How are you going to dominate a game you lose? I said when it was 10-0 first half, and they gave him 7 points, Garoppolo. That's why you guys reacted that way. Just start listening. Everything ain't a damn joke. Damn, I said first half when it was 10-0 and they gave the 7 points to him. I didn't say the whole game.
888-957-9570. Who's better, the Niners or the Seahawks?
Check the tape, man.
Wow.
The text line, check the tape. They heard me. First half. That in that game, they lost. They dominated. Come on, man. That's why you guys reacted that way.
This is where I need to be better. Now, do I need to go to the tape, or should we just move on?
You have to.
Should we just? No, I don't want to be the guy.
You do it every day. You guys do it every day. So we got to go to the tape. And now I feel better, because if I did say game, which I know I didn't, that's why you guys reacted that way. Bonte, I said the first half.
No, Guru, I heard game.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, you heard
that's
wrong.
Why I laughed.
All right.
And
we'll
if
fire
you didn't speak, right. It's okay. It happens.
And
in
if
this
I
world.
Did,
can we get
I
some names up on the calling line, please, so I can go take a call and get off this? I need a name. I see line one is flashing. Just give me a name,
like,
and we'll put that person
man.
On. As soon as possible, we'll put somebody on.
I'm different.
By the way,
anyway, coaching and quarterback play in Seattle is what I think would worry me if I were a 49er fan.
It would, too. And you got to play that game in Seattle. And Seattle's 6-0 on the road. Hopefully they can – the L.A. Rams will be fighting for their lives and – do the Niners a solid this Sunday night, hopefully. But the Niners got to take care of business, and the good thing is the Niners control their own destiny. They still control their own destiny. They went out. They will get the bye week. They'll get a top two seed, and they'll have a home game in these playoffs. But as of right now, don't look like it's happening. It does not look like it's happening. We'll see.
Hey, let's make Guru feel better. Let's go to Derek in Oakland. Derek, what's going on, Derek?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. I know we throwing hot coals around. I want to kind of bring some light to Guru. He did mention the first half. He didn't say first half, but he was in particular talking about the first half with the 10-0 start. So
okay.
He
just
well, that
he
did. Thank you.
If we had more so, in other words, by first half, yes, you mean said game.
Okay. Game, but he did mention that.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate the call.
I don't know, man.
Roberto and Martinez. What's up, Roberto?
Oh, man.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. I just wanted to put my two cents on that, too. Daryl the Guru, he did say they dominated 10-0. He was talking about the first half. We all heard it. I think Steiny went a little crazy on him, thinking he was talking the whole game. But I think, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Guys, have a great day.
We got Q-tips. I'm not trying to crack any jokes, but I need Q-tips because I thought I heard game. Yeah.
And
I thought I heard game. That's
and
all.
It was 10-0 in the first half.
We know.
And now I'm just apologizing you two regardless, because that should have been the reaction if you thought I meant they dominated the
game.
Let's
go to Brian. Brian's in Los Altos. What's up, Brian? Talk to me.
Hey, guys. Wow. Number one, I think decaf is the call of action this morning. I want to say that Guru, what he said was, is he did say they were dominating the game in the first half, so it's sort of a combination. I do agree that their defense was bottling them up, and we have, if you look at the tape or the score, we gave up, they scored three times off three turnovers. And even though I think, to answer your question, Steiny, which is a better team, I actually think Carroll is probably a better coach in crunch time, although remember, he's the one that called the pass lost the Super Bowl when he had the beast. He could have just handed the ball and they'd have won that. And two, while Wilson is, I mean, I can't say anything bad about him. He's a stud. We actually bottled him up pretty well. And I still think the coaching mistake we made was at the end of the game, I think they should have played for the tie. It'd have been in a different place right now than they are. And it's going to be tough to win out. They can do it. It's going to be tough. Last thing is remember, they were shorthanded when they played them. They didn't have Kittle. They didn't have E. Sanders. I don't think they had Staley. So I'm looking forward to four great games of football. And you guys are the best. And have a great day. And be calm.
Let's go over to Mitch. Mitch is in Manteca. You think they can still go all the way as a 5 seed? What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, I think they can. Also, I have a question and a comment real quick. The question is, if the Niners win out and Seattle loses one game, would we still win the division if we had a better record? And two, why aren't the Niners ever mad at the podium? I mean, I would be really upset losing these games, but they're always, you know, saying, oh, yeah, our team did good. We got one bye. But if I was up there, man, I'd be throwing the microphone, pushing down the podium. I mean, I'd be all upset, but it seems like they're not. So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on it.
Stay humble.
Well, first of all, if the 49ers have a better record than the Seahawks, they're the number one seed, no matter if the Seahawks had beaten them twice. If they have the better record, they're in. Right. As far as getting mad at the podium,
you don't want to.
Shanahan's never gotten mad at the podium, I don't think.
You've got to keep it even cool.
You've lost two games.
You got to be cool, right? You're
be cool!
Team kind of copies your attitude, right, out there on the football field. Your coach going all crazy. Players going to be going crazy on the football field. Yeah,
let's go to Parker in San Jose. What's going on, Parker? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for taking my call. I do think that the Niners are better than Seattle, though. I really do. Despite the loss to Seattle, I understand. But when your defense can hold up Seattle to have Russell Wilson put up an average game, I mean, you got to give them props somewhere. The 21 points that they scored, I mean, those were all off of turnovers. And if you look at Seattle's season, a lot of their games that they've won are within a touchdown. So I think their luck's going to run dry, and I don't think they're going to be leading the division for very much longer.
What do you guys think about that? That the 49ers have been more dominant 10-2 team than the Seattle Seahawks.
They have. But
that's
when
the way you lose that head-to-head, that supersedes everything, right?
And we always say point differentials for suckers, right? It's all about your record, right? And like Seattle, they go on the road and they win games. Whether it's close, they don't care. They win football games. They win. And the Niners have lost two big games where, we were talking yesterday, say, hey, it's a good loss, right? Damn near a moral victory, even though we don't believe in moral victories. Fact is, man, Seattle, they've gone on the road and won all their games. They won Cincinnati. They didn't slip up. They win that game. Just look at them last night. Seattle wins those games, and Seattle's a team. I think we talked about this earlier in the year. They were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, and I remember producer Kyle said, Kyle, the Seahawks team, man, I'm watching them early, but they get better and better as the season goes along. And here they are in December. You know Russell Wilson's record of December, January, Gutensteiny. You know how many touchdown passes he's thrown in this type of season. Like, they don't lose right now. They don't lose, and right now they are the better team, and it's a problem.
Let's go to the Warrior. He's in Reno. What's going on, Warrior? How you doing, man?
First of all, it's exciting, and I got to applaud you guys. You've had more members of the 49er organization call in the last 3 or 4 days. I hear we so much. You should be proud to have so many guys who are getting paid by the team who say we every time they talk about their Niners. But at the end of the day, I'm happy for you guys. Guru, I'm happy you get to spend time with your family in January because you're a Cowboy fan and you don't have to worry about football. But I'm excited. I'm excited against this matchup with Seattle. Listening to Russell Wilson last night sounded like a guy who works for Walmart. Let's go, team. Let's go, Blue Flag Special. That kind of fake enthusiasm, especially when you know you're being mic'd up. You can be jacked up for your team, but you're not a cheerleader. You should have put a little dress on, a little skirt. It's a great quarterback, but that fake enthusiasm doesn't fly with the Warrior. Bonte, Steinmetz, really enjoy you guys. Guru, I hope you have a better year in 2020, but it's all about where you place your loyalty. The Warriors happy to be up here in Reno for the next 30 days. I thank my company for paying me to go up here. Really what I think is they paid me to get out of town.
The Warrior, brought to you by Dialpad. That's why Dialpad helps you make smarter calls.
I got to touch on something, Stoddy. You know I love the mic'd up. Russell, he came across as he wasn't acting. I don't feel like that was the real Russell. Well, what he told 39, you know, you one of the bad ones. Right. The bad ones. Well,
come way on, to run that rock.
What
way
a
to
loser.
Run that. Well, how about this? I know Steiny doesn't care. Steiny doesn't care about the fashion. Goo, I know you saw Russell Wilson walk into the stadium. Oh, my
Lord. You're going to be shocked. I missed that.
Oh, I got to send you the picture. Sierra has done a number on him. Oh, boy.
It wasn't a super.
When you sprung, you sprung, man. This guy walked in. Who the hell is this guy?
Taco me showing her.
Oh, dude, I got to show you. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man. I don't even know what swag is anymore, Steph.
Well, I've seen enough.
Coming up today, we got Cam Inman. He's at 11 o'clock. That's his usual spot. And at 10:45, we got former NFL GM Bill Polian. He's going to be joining us at 10:45. Also, may talk a little Warriors later in the show. They got beat at the buzzer last night. Oh, no, that's right. They lost by 25.
Wait, did they score 80 yesterday?
They scored 79. But
against the Hawks?
Worst defensive team in the league.
Not anymore.
Hey, do you see Damian Jones baptized when Cody Stein?
Baptized. Wow.
And, you know, interestingly, we're talking about the Warriors-Hawks game. Man, did you see? Have you seen the NBA ratings?
Ooh.
And the Warriors ratings? I mean, it is unbelievable how down they are this year. 20% overall. And the Warriors' TV ratings this year down 50%.
Wow.
50%. Jesus. And I'm trying to think,
does
that have more to do with the fans or does that have more to do with the team? We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Damn, those are staggering numbers, man. And everybody wanted parity. You had one of those. Everybody looked forward to this offseason, and it was one of the greatest all seasons in NBA history. It was going to be parity. No more super team, even though that was not a fact because there's always been super teams in the NBA. Stymus, you've been watching the league. You guys watch the league. How many years have we had parity in the NBA?
I need D'Lo back.
Oh, he's going to move the needle and get you some ratings?
No, I'm just to watch him play. The ratings is a whole nother issue. We'll talk about it.
Let's go to Devin. Devin is in Sacramento. He wants to talk about the Niners at the number 5 seed right now.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Going well.
Good, good. So, yeah, I mean, I hear all this talk. You know, we're talking about our last game with Seattle. But, you know, we've talked about injuries and whatnot. I think we need to focus on our most recent game. You look at how we played the Ravens, who, you know, kind of humiliated the Patriots, some humiliated the Seahawks, you know, sort of took those teams out of their powerful nature. And how we played them and we were in that game, that's the best team in football right now. If we get through the Saints, you know, winning out the rest of this season, I'm not worried about us at home versus the Falcons or the Rams. You know, I think we come to play in Seattle and we got a good chance to, you know, possibly not be the number 5 seed. But I think right now we focus on how we played against the Ravens. And, you know, ultimately everything should fall in place as long as we can do what we did at the beginning of the season and went on the road when we come to see the Saints this week.
Thanks for the call, Devin. Appreciate it. Yeah, the question is, I mean, how big of a and maybe the answer is self-explanatory. How big of a difference is it to go in as a wild card as opposed to a division winner?
It's everything. And, you know, I'm not being a homer here, but it looks like if you do end up in the 5 seed, the Cowboys got a mobile quarterback. They got a franchise running back, receiver, and Amari
offensive
Cooper.
Line.
Offensive line. I'm just that's not something if you're trying to get to the ultimate goal in football, you know what 4 quarters can do to the body. People can drop. My whole point is you want to be at home in your pajamas, sipping eggnog, watching the others battle it out. It's everything to me.
No, it's huge. You don't want to go on the road. We've seen a Seattle team that was 7-9, and everybody laughed at because the winner of the NFC West was 7-9. Oh. And the Saints go up there, and you get beast-quaked by Marshawn Lynch. Those wild card games are hard. How many years did Houston come in as a laughing stock? Oh, this lame duck team. How did they get a home game? And then they win it. I mean, we saw Tim Tebow win a freaking wild card game at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's everything. Steiny, like Guru just said, you need the bye week. You need a home game in the playoffs. You want the easiest road as possible to the Super Bowl. You got to win out, man. Because then if you win the wild card game, Steiny, you're going back to Seattle or you're going back to New Orleans.
I know.
You know, it's like, it's not going away. Damn.
JJ in San Jose thinks the Niners are better than the Seahawks. What's going on, JJ? How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know what? I believe the Niners are better than the Seahawks for 2 reasons. One, I think the Niners' defense is better. I know that the Seahawks have Wagner and Jadeveon Clowney, and they did a number on us when they played that Monday night, but overall, our defensive line is better than theirs. The Clowney's a beast, but we have Bosa and Armstead and Buckner. And Fred Warner is up there. I remember hearing listening to Baldy yesterday. He's kind of like a little similar style to Bobby Wagner, Fred Warner. But another thing, like that caller mentioned, when the Seahawks played the Niners, I'm not sure the exact number, but I think maybe only one of their scoring drives went the length of the field because of the turnovers that the Niners committed. The Seahawks only had a short field to work with, and because of the experience of Russell Wilson, the Niners kind of played him too easy. And a lot of that's my one concern with Shanahan right now is that, like, you're right, Steiny, Carroll and Wilson have the upper hand on coach and quarterback, but the Niners are still a young team learning how to be the best. And the one thing that Shanahan has to not do anymore is be cute with the football and just play the way they know how to play. Because if they would have played a Niner football, they would have won on Monday night against the Seahawks, and they damn near beat the Ravens. And then what? You know what I mean? It's two little plays away from still being undefeated. I don't care the Seahawks won. They had that game. They had that Monday night game, and they lost it. Those are facts. But I still think they're better.
Thanks, JJ. Appreciate the call.
Brought to you by the Dialpad Guest Line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with the business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices.
I mean, the other thing that, like, if you really wanted to be a devil's advocate, you could almost say, why would you think the 49ers can make a run when, like, Kyle Shanahan hasn't coached well in big games? I mean, is there a thought that maybe he can't get it done?
Oh boy!
I mean,
that
obviously
wouldn't come up
it's
until
early.
They lose, though, right?
They've lost twice in the two big games.
No, I was saying this would be his first time coaching in the playoffs.
A head coach.
As a head coach.
Yeah, well,
because, you know, he
go.
Gets to blame for
people were bringing
the Super Bowl.
Up, I don't want
to
get you
He gets
to
blame.
Yeah.
He, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's like Dan Quinn doesn't even exist.
That's what I was
whatever. But, no, Shanahan has to prove it. He has to prove himself this year, and he's young.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7. The game brought to you by the first ever Al Attles Classic. Coming up, former NFL GM, and he's a member of the NFL's Blue Ribbon Panel to select the NFL's 100 all-time team. Bill Polian will be joining us, and we'll talk to him about his thoughts on the 49ers and Seahawks. And that's all sponsored by the first-ever Al Attles Classic. Witness basketball history at the first-ever Al Attles Classic at Chase Center. Saturday, December 21st, the top college teams in the country compete in a special one-day tournament. Local college teams include Stanford, Cal, and St. Mary's. Visit ChaseCenter.com for tickets.
To Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, coming up in 15 minutes, former NFL GM Bill Polian will be with us. And as always, Cam Inman at 11 o'clock covers the San Francisco 49ers for Bay Area News Group. We're talking about last night's Seahawks-Vikings game. Seahawks win. They go to 10-2. Same record as the Niners. They hold the edge because they beat them in the head-to-head. We're talking about which team's better, 49ers or Seahawks. And if the 49ers, I said, I mean, my feeling is in order for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, they probably have to win out. And people were saying that's an overreaction. Is it an overreaction? If they don't win out, it likely means they're going to go to the postseason as a wild card team. And I think asking the 49ers to win three on the road and then on a neutral site, I don't think anything's impossible, but that's going to be very difficult.
Isn't it crazy where we've come, how far we've come from the Denver preseason game to Jimmy Garoppolo being rattled to being disappointed about a wild card game?
The goalposts are moving, Bonte.
Oh, it's moved, right? Before week one, you say, oh, the Niners get a wild card. You'd be like, you know what? We'll take that. That's progress. We're going to be a little, we're going to be teared up. And by the way, Kirk Cousins now, your boy, Stardy.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about you, man, watching him. It wasn't his fault last night.
He's trash.
That's why I hate how quarterbacks get a record. You know, they're 21-10 or 28-13. But Kirk Cousins, man, in games he's played on what a day football, 0-8 now. 0-8.
And I guess, he's going to have a playoff game. Go
and
ahead,
I guess
90.
Now is when you guys are going to say that the Monday night games are more important than the Sunday games.
There you go.
Are they worth two?
No. I'm over here, and he's about to have
and
a playoff
And on Sunday
game.
Games that start at 10 a.m., he's 22-6 or something like that.
And you got...
By the way, I hope Kyle Shanahan was watching the end of the first half last night.
Ooh, wow.
Because Zimmer and Kirk Cousins showed you how to do a drive with under a minute to go with timeouts.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what you call successful.
The other thing is good teams do that. Yeah. That I'm wound up. How are we feeling about Kyle Shanahan's clock management in game one against the Seahawks?
Steiny, I've always understood where you came from with that situation. But damn, it looks bad right now. But I'm not going to tie.
They didn't even have to go for a tie. You know what Kyle Shanahan had to do? He had to be smart. It wasn't about going for a tie. It was about playing smart football at the end of regulation. Mm. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. And you know what? I'm more ticked off at Dante Pettis. Or maybe I should be more ticked off at Jimmy Garoppolo for throwing the damn ball to Dante Pettis because he dropped it right in his hands.
That's the last pass he's had thrown to him?
Shit, man.
He shouldn't see the field.
He was actually out, inactive.
You're too staying hard. Staying
at. No, man. Come on, Guru. Nah. This guy's a second round pick. And you know what? We're trying to catch up with Softy Baller from up there in Seattle. And he told me straight up, that guy should have never been picked that high. He was just running wide open in the Pac-12.
Who's that? Pettis.
I mean, the guy, it's nine drop pass about to receive.
Not only that, he can't return punts either.
He can't return punts. He broke the NCAA record, and now he's not even returning punts because the guy doesn't like contact.
Full disclosure. Remember I said you shouldn't have him returning punts?
That's crazy.
I thought he was too valuable in the passing game.
Yeah, he just doesn't like contact. There's some guys who like contact, and there's some who don't. And it appears to me that Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin, they don't like contact.
Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. He likes the 49ers' chances against Seattle. What's going on, Bobby?
Blood is boiling.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Is it too early to say happy holidays?
Yes.
Sure, Bobby.
Okay.
I got a Christmas tree in the crib. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, let me start by saying it's 10 a.m. I'm so chill from that Ian Williams amazing interview. And then at 10:03, I'm shaking, startled, and I'm scared for Bonte and Steinmetz's life. You guys really know how to start a program.
I appreciate it, Bobby.
They're getting up on me.
Listen, SF is definitely better than Seattle, and I definitely understand all of Bonte's points. The record is a record, but can we just remind Niners fans that they lost in overtime by a missed field goal, and then they lost an away game in Baltimore, East Coast Baltimore, on a last-second field goal. I don't even understand why someone said Shanahan would be yelling and screaming. How do you yell and scream if those are the two losses that you have? If you want to use a common opponent, I think Ravens is probably the best one. They dominated the Hawks in Seattle. The Niners had to fly across the country, again, to East Coast Baltimore, and they lost in the last second. So I just definitely believe, and if you look at other common opponents, the Niners destroyed other common opponents, and Seattle barely got by, you know, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, blah, blah, blah. But if we assume, I don't know why we're assuming the Niners will be the wild card. I honestly believe that the Hawks are going to lose to the Rams this weekend, and then the Niners will control their own destiny. But if you look at the two teams, of course, you know, they have the same record. But if you look at the quality of the wins, there's no doubt that San Francisco is a better team top to bottom. May I quickly say something about the Atlanta Hawks? On Saturday, they scored 111 points against Houston, and they lost by 47 points. Yesterday, they scored 104 points, and they won by 25. The Warriors are horrific. They are terrible, and they're hard to watch, so I can understand why the people aren't watching them anymore. But it looks like we're going to be able to lock up a top three worst record without any funny shenanigans or tanking. I think we're just naturally going to do it. But if we start to somehow streak a little and lose our grip on those most favorable lottery odds, I'm going to say it right now. Eric Pascal, load management. Thank you.
Mike 510 brings up a legit point. He says, Steiner, you could say the same thing about Seattle. They'd have to win out, too, if they want to win the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it. And our guy, Bobby, we love Bobby. He was brought to you by the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps make smart
I feel
calls.
Like I know Bobby.
I do, too. Let's call
go
me
to,
a pro.
Let's Remember go to David. Guru? David's in Denver. What's going on, Denver?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I got to, kind of like the last guy, Bobby, I got to help give some perspective back to you guys, man, because everyone's like, I don't know, like you're saying, I'm not so concerned about the Niners. I actually called you guys about week 4 or 5 and said, it's all about Seattle. We got to get past Seattle. They've been our foes for a few years now. I don't care about the Saints. I don't care about the Packers, the Ravens, anybody. I want to go in and beat the Seattle Seahawks at their home turf at the end of the season. And I think that's what it's going to take. But the whole thing on perspective is that, man, I've heard you guys mention a lot about the goalposts are moved or expectations change once you start that way. It's an ambo situation, guys. Of course, expectations change when you go 8-0. I get that. But the fact is, what's also true is what we were last year. Signing, I'm kind of tripping off what you're giving to Shanahan right now. We're a young team. He's a young coach. We've been in every single game this season, including on the road versus the Ravens, which everyone says is the best team in the league, and what no one talks about, our kicking situation. If we made two more field goals this year, what would our record, what could it possibly be?
I think Shanahan's a damn good coach.
More field goals.
I think Shanahan's a damn good coach. I thought what I said was, if you're measuring the 49ers against the Seahawks, don't you have to give the Seahawks the edge in coaching and quarterback play?
Absolutely. I just want to give the perspective that I think we're young. I think that Jimmy G's learning. I think that Kyle Shanahan's learning. I mean, it's the first,
no doubt,
the first full season, you know, that we got to give it to them, because I think that they're learning, getting better as we go. So that's all. I say we got to give them a break and take it game by game. And you know what? If we go in as a 5-seed and a wild card, I'm cool, man. We're a damn good team.
It's cool. I don't have a problem with anything David said. Kevin, no, in Oakland. What's going on, Kevin? How are you, man?
What's up, Vontae, Steiny, Guru?
Hey.
Y'all?
What's happening?
So look, I can't believe, now y'all professional. I think y'all might need to add me to the show, because look, the 49ers, 10-2, Seattle 10-2, okay? The 49ers lost by a total of 6 points to two of the best teams in the league. That's Baltimore and Seattle. And they could have won both of those games, you know, barring maybe one big play throughout the game. And you look at Seattle, the common opponents, they have got beaten badly in Seattle by Baltimore. And the Niners themselves already, there's no other team that's a contender that has not been blown out yet except the Niners. The only team that has not been blown out yet. That's all I got to say. Let me know what you think.
I don't know what to think about that, tell you the truth. I don't. Because I get it. Seattle's played a lot more close games, but
they win close games.
Like, as of this moment right now, it kind of doesn't matter, because they're both 10-2.
Yep.
I also have, you know, I wonder about us saying, well, the 49ers, their two losses have been very close, so we're going to give them credit for that. But Seattle's wins have been closer than they should have, so we're going to take credit away. I mean, both teams are 10-2.
And doesn't it? All that is right, but Bonte, it comes down to Monday Night Football. You had a chance to play each other. Close game, 15-round bout, overtime. Seattle won. Yep. They get the edge right now. That's just what
right
it
now
is. And there's three games before that fourth game, and you always talk about division games. Seattle plays
the Rams. And they're desperate.
Who's one game behind,
yep,
Minnesota Kirk Cousins. So yeah, they're going to be playing for something.
Yeah, that's
so
a huge game.
We talk about how the Niners got a tough game, right, in the Bayou. So does Seattle.
They do.
And oh, by the way, do you two feel comfortable telling me after what you saw Kirk Cousins do and have success moving the Vikings up and down the field that, Steiny, the Seahawks got a better defense than the Niners?
It's just different, though. Clowney, Reed.
No, they don't have a better defense different than the Niners.
It's just different, man, when you get the Niners and Seahawks together. They turn into bloodbaths. Mm. They turn into wars. And I hope the Niners can go up and down the field. I hope Shanahan can dial it up. I just don't see it happening. It's one of those things, I got to see it to believe it.
From the text line, I don't give Seattle the edge on coaching. Swap the quarterbacks and all of a sudden Kyle looks like, come on.
The guy should have two
rings. Kyle Shanahan's not even a 500 coach right now, and we're talking about a guy that's won the Super Bowl,
yep,
in Pete Carroll.
Come on. Be fair now.
That is ridiculous.
Let's go to Kirk in Campbell. Wants to talk about Joe Staley. What's going on? Oh, we got Bill? Well, let's hold then on Kirk. Joining us now on the Dialpad guest line is former NFL GM and a member of the Blue Ribbon panel that votes on the NFL 100 All-Time Team, Bill Polian. The NFL 100 All-Time Team series continues Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific on the NFL Network, revealing the defensive backs, safeties, and specialists who made the team. Bill, how's it been for a football buff like yourself to take a deep dive like that into NFL history?
Football heaven. It was great.
actually, the difficulty of this job was to try to separate and still do justice to the people who played in the 20s, 30s, and 40s prior to World War II, which were really, in many ways, the pioneers of the game. But the game was so different then in terms of style, in terms of systems that played offensive and defensively, in terms of the size of the ball. It was much more difficult to throw. Kicking and particularly punting was so much more important than it is today. So we were puzzling, worried about how we could do justice to the players of the past, you know, the distant past. And so we came up with a kind of an ad hoc committee led by Bill Belichick and Joel Bussert, who for many years was the league's director of player personnel, both the really good football historians, John Madden, myself, and Chris Willis and Ron Wolf. Chris Willis is from NFL Films. And so we took on the task of actually looking at film from the 20s, 30s, 40s. There wasn't much of it, and a lot of it was grainy. It was really hard on the eyes. But we looked at it and tried to grade the players, and then we had our own committee meetings, subcommittee meetings, I should say, and talk through at length what we felt about each of the individual players, and then put forth suggestions to the full committee as to the players we felt were qualified and deserving of being on the top 100. And so, and we've got a pretty good cross-section of them throughout the players that have been named thus far. By the way, the committee members do not, and I guess Bill might know because he's doing the broadcast, but the rest of us don't know what the final tally will be. So I'm as following it as assiduously as any fan.
Yeah, and you talk about the top 100 and the prestige that comes with that. It's exciting. I don't envy you guys putting that together, but not to put you on the spot, if I were to ask you who is the most dominant football player you've ever laid eyes on, how would you answer?
I would say Mean Joe Green.
Interesting.
Wow. Followed
closely by Reggie White and Bruce Smith.
I didn't I didn't hear LT.
Lawrence Taylor?
He's in.
See, this is what's fun about it, huh, Bill?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's tough to pick just one.
Me, Joe Green.
Well, I guess the nice thing is if you leave anybody out from that 1922 team, you're not going to hear a lot of complaints because nobody knows.
Well, they have sons and daughters and grandchildren, you know.
Well, I did notice, Bill, that the running backs, there was no running backs when it came to the top 12, top 10 running backs of all time. There was no running backs from like the last 15, 20 years. Where was Marshall Faulk or LaDainian Tomlinson or Adrian Peterson at?
Well, Adrian Peterson's still playing, so it would be a little difficult to put him on. But certainly, I'm sure, I know LT and Marshall Faulk were considerations. But, you know, can you argue with anybody who's on there?
Probably not. Probably not at all. But I want to ask you, we just saw the Ravens and Niners play, and it was a fascinating football game, possibly the game of the year. What was your big takeaway from that game before we get into – because we were talking about Lamar Jackson yesterday, what he's going to be like in 5 years, but just your big takeaway from that big football game this past Sunday.
Oh, boy, you asked the right question. I hope you got some time.
Sure.
First of all, it lived up to the advance hype, and that's rare in this day and age in the National Football League. Secondly, two great teams – playing great football throughout the game. That, too, is rare. That game had very few mistakes in it, very few. And the teams played at a level that is comparable to the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl. The talent level is exquisite on both sides. You couldn't find two more disparate approaches offensively, and yet, it turned out to be, we're talking here about the golden age of football, maybe the 70s, the 70s Steelers and the 70s and the 80s Niners were watching that game and applauding. That was old-fashioned NFL for, if you want to call it old-fashioned, old-school NFL football. Running game, defense, outstanding coaching, tough decisions. The game turns on a third and one for the Niners in the fourth quarter. I mean, what more could you ask? It was as good a football game as I've seen maybe in the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that because we all came out yesterday on Monday after the game and said, you know, sometimes you just have to call a game what it is. It was a mid-season classic, and one team won and another team didn't. I mean, normally on a Monday we spend time criticizing somebody or a player or a quarterback, and the only thing we could really find was maybe Shanahan's clock management at the end of the first half and then the fourth and one call. But, I mean, that's basically just the kind of things you talk about after a football game. So everybody kind of came out on top.
Oh, yeah. There were no losers in that game, that's for sure. And you know, you can argue the fourth and one call, and the game turns on that because I believe that had the Niners made it, you would have the Niners probably would have ended up winning the game because it would be hard given the weather conditions, number one, and number two, the style in which the Ravens play would have been hard for them with little time on the clock to go 80 yards and you know, assuming a touchdown, to get a touchdown. So that the game turned on the fourth and one, but hey, every game in history turns on those. You either make it or you don't. And the only question, and this is the ultimate nitpick, and I'm almost ashamed to say it because it's not a criticism in any way. The only thing you would have taken into consideration is, hey, with the weather conditions, would it have been better maybe to run the ball? But that's, as I said, the all-time nitpick.
Yeah, no doubt, Bill. And as you know, the San Francisco Niners are in the midst of a magical season. And believe it or not, we're taking phone calls because there is a scenario to where the Niners could have 11 or 12 wins and be on the road wild card weekend at the NFC East winner because of the, you know, they win the division, they would be the fourth seed. I say all that to say, do you think the NFL should look at that, or is that an overreaction from fans and it's been this way for a while? Where do you come out on that if Seattle or the Niners might have three or four more winners in the NFC East winner but would have to play on the road?
It is not an overreaction. It is, as you probably know, I was a member of the competition committee for 20 years, and about 10 years or so ago, the competition committee made a unanimous recommendation to the league that we seed the playoffs according to record and not by division. And we were willing to listen to some suggestion about whether or not a division winner might get some home field, you know, but still be seeded where they belonged with their record, which in the case of the NFC East might well be the sixth seed. We put that forth to the owners, and it was beaten to death by the owners. They wanted no part of it.
Why do you think?
Wow.
The argument that they made is not an argument. It was a decision they made. We only recommend they vote. Their point of view was that the home game is a spur for season tickets. It's a reward for the fans who come all year, and the divisions are such that you should be rewarded for winning the division, even though you might have, in the case that we were looking at, I can't remember who the team was, but actually there was a team that was about to get in or came close to getting in with a losing record. It may have been Seattle.
Seattle, they won that game, Bill. They beat the Saints. Remember the big Marshawn Lynch run? They were 7-9.
Yes.
We've seen that. I got to ask you about Lamar before we let you go, Bill. And just, we were watching that game Sunday, and we're fascinated with his handling of the ball in the pocket, the way he rides the running back on that option pull. It is fascinating to see. But when you see a quarterback like this, we had Brian Baldinger on yesterday from NFL Network, and he talked about Randall Cunningham when he was running around and he got hit by Ken Norton Jr. And he said, you know what? That's it for me. I got to stop. That's enough. in 5 years, where is Lamar Jackson going to be at? Because I still see a quarterback, even though I think he's a really good quarterback, I still think that if you put him in third and long situations, he can be had. So where do you see him morphing into in the next 5 years?
I'll be able to tell you better at this time next year. And if you'd like, I'll come back on and we'll talk about it. But what we need to do is have a year, an off season for NFL defensive coordinator to go back to school.
The lab.
To talk to old guys like Belichick and myself who've been around a while and figure out, okay, what is this offense that Lamar runs and how do we stop him? I will say this, Kyle Shanahan said it best, and he has the advantage of talking to his dad, who's been around forever. He said he's a running back. He didn't say that. He didn't say that in any denigrating way. But you have to, as schemers, as defensive schemers, you have to treat him as a running back, essentially a single wing tailback. And let's see. After the league gets a full year of looking at, you know, what Baltimore does and how they do, and defensive coordinators figuring out, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is what we have to do, this is how we change things up, then we'll know what his future will be, I think. Now, at the same time, I have never seen a player improve throwing the ball in 1 year as much as he has. Man, he has made an incredible improvement in his mechanics, in throwing the football, and his accuracy. So, you know, he's a much better thrower in my mind than Randall Cunningham was at a similar stage in his career, and that's only happened in one offseason. So it tells us that the game evolves, and we'll know better at this time next year what really he will be in the long run.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Great stuff, great perspective, and have fun on the all-time team series production.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
All right, that was Bill Polian, former NFL GM and member of the Blue Ribbon panel that votes on the NFL 100 all-time team. Make sure to catch the NFL 100 all-time team series Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific on NFL Network, where they reveal the defensive back safeties and the specialists who made the team. Then watch the reaction show, which airs Friday at 6 p.m. When we come back, Cam Inman, he covers the 49ers for the Bay Area News Group, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
I'm tired of playing on the team.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What happened?
Was that you or Monte?
What is that?
Who is that singing?
I'm sorry? I know. The board op's not this board op. It usually is. Who are you and why was that music playing? And
that
what is that music?
Master Crasher.
So we have James left me here. He had to make a little phone call, and he leaves me with this soundboard. I have no idea what song's what, so I click the closest one I can find it. I thought it was a very fitting song for you, Steiny.
What's it called?
It's Hall & Oates, your favorite band.
But who was singing it?
That was Hall & Oates?
First of all, they're not really a band. It's more like a duo.
A group, my apologies.
And why would you say they're my guys?
Because you're an oldie. You like the classics.
Wow. Aren't they from Philly, too?
They're outside Philly.
Outside of Philly,
they are from. Just like me.
As of you are.
I hate Hall & Oates.
Give me Sarah Smile if you're going to give something.
Look at Nash just pop onto the mic out of nowhere with confidence, man. Swagger.
Cam Inman is going to be joining us momentarily. Bay Area News Group covers the San Francisco 49ers. And looking forward to talking to Cam. He's in Florida probably right now.
No doubt.
What a joke that is.
What a life, huh?
Bradenton, Florida.
Is that where the Niners are practicing?
Spring training.
I think it's where they have that IMG Academy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, for $100, where the hell's Bradenton in Florida? Is it near Miami? Is it near Gainesville?
I'm going to say it's near Tampa.
Near Tampa. Where the Pirates have spring training. Right.
All right, let's go to Cam Inman, find out Bay who Area News us. Group.
Yeah, wait, please.
I will announce that he's sponsored by the Dial Pad Guest Line, which we've now read four times today, but I'll do it one more time. The Dial Pad Guest Line helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. The question I have for you, Cam, is did you bring your clubs or did you rent them?
Rented, and I just putted in for par on number 8. Players have the day off, so it's not like I'm totally shirking my responsibilities. My responsibilities are to go hunt alligators at Waterleaf Golf Club.
All right, so correct me if I'm wrong, the team's in Bradenton, Florida?
We are in Bradenton, Florida, home of the Pirates, I believe. There's Pirates memorabilia all throughout the little... It's kind of weird. We were talking to some of the locals last night. It seems like it's a college town without the college. There's like a lot of bars.
What's the biggest city near Bradenton?
Well, we're about an hour south of Tampa.
Oh, good call.
Bonte knows his geography.
Because we have no idea where Bradenton is.
All right,
Sarasota is like about 15 minutes south, so
Sarasota might be close. Yeah, Sarasota's a big city. All right, let's forget about Florida for a minute.
Tampa's bigger. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. We talked a lot yesterday about the Ravens 49ers game and what we all agree on was it was a great game. Both sides. The two things
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.